Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to the Quality Hub Chatting with ISO Experts. I'm your host, Xavier Francis, and I'm here with Scott Dawson, President of Core Business Solutions. I'm so glad you can be here with us today, Scott.
X, it is great to be here.
Awesome. Today's podcast is part one of two in our series entitled ISO Certification and Your Bottom Line. In this episode, we'll talk about the cost of ISO certification, potential savings, customer satisfaction and retention, and more. But first, we'd love to learn a little bit more about our guest, Scott Dawson, and his experience and journey to becoming president of Core Business Solutions. Scott, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey?
Yeah, sure. Glad to, X. One fun fact people may not know is I started my career as a Baptist minister.
Baptist minister.
Baptist
wow.
minister.
Wow.
So I don't know if it's my job's changed that much since then. It's still hearts and souls and minds.
So there you go.
In leadership, but...
But you're not just selling something.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly.
I'll cut that.
And in the meetings get long when I start preaching. So
yes,
there's that.
Yes, right? Yes. I can attest to a few of those. But it's always engaging.
I'm sure. Yeah, but I did start with a different career in mind, and this led to that, and I found myself working in a manufacturing environment, eventually working in quality assurance as the quality assurance manager. And what I learned in that first gig was to ask stupid questions, and it's okay. And I think I'm still asking stupid questions.
Hey, it's finding the answer that's the fun part, right?
Exactly right. So have to ask the basics and get people to explain things. And that led us to Pennsylvania through a job transfer.
Because you were originally in Colorado.
We were in Colorado, then in California, and now here in Pennsylvania. And after 2.5 years living in Pennsylvania, I found myself in business one day.
Okay.
Yeah, so the company went out of business. The instant entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
So just started to pursue opportunities and got involved in helping a couple of customers getting ISO certified. And because we're located in central Pennsylvania, meaning we have very few customers around us locally, mm-hmm. we had to figure out how to work remotely and virtually.
And this would have been in the 90s, right?
Yeah, late 90s, early 2000s. And so just started to figure out how to provide support to people in a new way, and it's led to Core Business Solutions. It's been great.
It has been great. I've been here over 5 years, and I absolutely love it. In all my previous lives, I've never been able to say that after 5 years. So it's a great place to work.
That's
I love
great.
It. And I'm glad you maybe went through some struggles but started your entrepreneurial spirit.
For sure.
We're all get to be here.
For sure.
So back to ISO certification and your bottom line. How does ISO certification impact the cost structure of your organization, both from an expense and a potential savings point of view?
Yeah, I think you do have to look at both sides.
Mm-hmm.
It's often, you know, the cost of getting certified, getting prepared to get certified is kind of right in your face. But what's the potential payback? I think people don't ask that question enough.
They just see the initial cost.
And often it's because you've got a customer asking you to get certified and you focus on all the effort to get certified and then what?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and where does that lead? So I have also often said that you get out of ISO what you put into it.
Okay.
So if your objective is to get certified and then stay certified and then stay certified again, then it will likely turn into an annual event that you're just using that date on the calendar when the auditor is going to be in the building as a reason to get busy and get things cleaned up and fixed up and that type of thing.
So you're just making sure you can keep that certification.
Exactly right. So it's a very expensive piece of paper.
That is.
On the wall.
If that's all you're doing.
If that's
I'm
all
sure
you're
it
doing.
Is.
If that's all you're doing. So there are certainly costs to be recognized. There's time.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly will have the cost of the audit. Generally, you'll sign a 3-year agreement with your registrar and you'll have that cost over a period of 3 years.
You're certified for 3 years, correct?
Yeah.
And then you have 2 surveillance audits before your next
That's
full
right.
certification audit.
Correct? But the contract is generally a 3-year period. And then you may get help from a consulting firm like Core Business Solutions. And I'd imagine many people who are listening today
yes.
are customers of ours. So thank you all very much for that. So there are certainly dollars that you can add up to say, this is what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
The cost savings or the benefit side of it often is focused on improvement. If you're aiming at using ISO to put structure in place that can help the business run more efficiently and drive improvement in the business, then you can leverage the trouble of getting certified mm-hmm. to bring about a change in the culture and the direction of the business and get more organized about improvement and hold people more accountable for improvement and looking for results that can really be a payback. But you have to purposely aim at that goal, because an auditor is not going to force you to improve. What they're going to do is evaluate whether you're in compliance with a standard, but they're not going to look at the end results and say, okay, your results are good or your results are bad. That's not even what they certify you to.
No, they just certify you to make sure you are compliant with the standard. The benefits are yours to or not to gain.
Yeah, exactly okay. Right. Exactly right. So I like to say that ISO is an excuse to get a lot of things done that you probably wanted to do, especially as a business grows and you have a lot of new people and new processes and new customers and new products, and you aren't quite as organized as you'd like to be. Mm-hmm. That's typical in any business. And the problems crop up and delays crop up and customer complaints crop up, and you wish you could put your finger on what's causing it all. So you have to kind of peel back those problems, you know, in an organized fashion and put structure in place about problem solving and root cause analysis and process improvement. And even internal auditing can be a way to get at what might be costing you money in terms of your performance. I don't know that any of this reduces the out-of-pocket cost to get certified, because mm-hmm. I'm not sure you can't reduce the cost of the audit, for example, you know.
Well, it's the stuff that happens when you're doing it properly.
Yeah.
You're looking at reduced cost if you're manufacturing, yeah. when it's stuff on the floor, that you're reducing waste. If you're retaining employees, you don't have to do a training and bringing somebody else in and all of finding somebody else if you're able to retain them because you're engaging them
that's
more
right.
and they want to stay. That's the cost savings
yeah,
you're looking
great, at. Great example. And companies can select their own priorities and determine where they're going to put their own focus and where improvement is needed. There's no cookie cutter solution or approach. It's really up to management and the organization to determine where to focus and where to put the time and effort.
Yep.
What the ISO auditor is going to look for is, do you have a process for improvement in place? Where do you improve and what do you focus on? That's up to you. They aren't going to tell you.
So much of this is based on what you see as a business that
yeah.
you want to change.
Yeah.
So how does ISO certification impact the quality of your products and services? We touched on it a little bit there. And what's the effect on customer satisfaction and retention?
So quality improvement, if you think about what it is you sell to customers. So if you're in the service business, you're selling services. If you're in a product business, you're selling products. Some companies sell both.
Mm-hmm.
But that delivery to the customer either meets their needs or doesn't meet their needs. So that's really the definition of quality.
Mm-hmm.
And you can utilize the quality of your product or service as the litmus test or the measurement of progress and improvement. And you can assign a number of projects. You can derive a lot of process improvement. You can put good KPIs in place derived around the quality of your product, the quality of your service. And that's certainly an area that can be improved. In many organizations, that's where the aim is to improve the quality of product and service, which leads then to customer satisfaction.
Because mm-hmm.
if the customer is getting what they need, and mm-hmm. I think that the inherent quality of the unit is not what we mean by quality. It's all of those things. It's mm-hmm. the entire customer experience with your organization. So it could be the quality of the quotes that get sent back when a quote request is sent in, or mm-hmm. the timeliness of a response when they have an inquiry, or certainly the shipment of product on time to meet certain delivery needs.
So any interaction you may have with a customer, whether it's getting them information,
yep.
whether it's getting them a product on time, whether it's the product itself, anytime you have an interaction with that customer is a potential place
yep.
to have customer satisfaction.
Yeah, and it's gonna generate either a greater pleasure or a greater displeasure with your organization. I mean, it stacks up on itself.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, a customer gets more and more satisfied. Like, my gosh, I can't believe these guys are as good as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Or, my gosh, I can't believe these guys are as bad as they
yeah.
are.
Is why there somebody else?
Is there anybody
get?
Else?
Yeah.
Yeah. So customer satisfaction is sort of an outcome of great quality service and products. It also, quality customer satisfaction can be a metric, and customer satisfaction can be improved, and you can measure it, and you can drill into problems through corrective action, things like that.
Well, since it's multifaceted, asking customers, how's your experience? It might be things that you are or are not aware of.
Yeah. Asking the customer is radical X. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought of that?
Exactly right. But it's oftentimes people don't want to ask because they're afraid of the answer.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of getting the truth, you know, handed back to them.
When they probably know somewhere. They probably know. Great.
Yeah. Internally, you know. You're just hoping it's, you know, if you have marginal quality, you're kind of hoping that it doesn't affect customer satisfaction, but it does.
Right.
It does, which then leads to the third element here, which is customer retention. So obviously, if you're meeting their needs and they're satisfied with the delivery of your products or services, you're likely to keep that customer over a period of years.
And potentially maybe gain more because word of mouth is such a huge thing.
Oh, sure.
And I mean, there's no business that stands as an island.
Yeah.
You know, so they're talking to the other people that they work with or know, and they're like, hey, XYZ company really does a great job. You might want to look into them if you're.
Yeah, boy, that's the mark of a satisfied customer right mm-hmm. there. If they're bragging about you and then telling their close friends or their close business associates mm-hmm. about you and your business, they're putting their reputation on the line by making the recommendation, you know, but they aren't going to do that and take risk that maybe or maybe not you're going to meet this,
right.
you know, their friends' needs or whatever.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think it there's a cascading effect. The quality of your product leads to customer satisfaction, which leads to customer retention, which, by the way, that's why we're all in business.
Exactly. Exactly. If there's no customers, we're not in business.
Exactly right.
So you had said this before, earlier in the podcast, that many businesses have to become certified, maybe to keep a contract and so forth. But how does ISO certification impact the credibility and reputation of your organization in the market beyond just maybe keeping that contract?
Yeah. Great question. Well, ISO, the standards are global standards.
Mm-hmm.
These are agreed upon minimum requirements for a business to operate efficiently and effectively with a quality management system. So ISO is recognized worldwide. And an ISO 9001 certification has a reputation in and of itself. It's a little bit like a good housekeeping seal of approval for those of us who are old enough to remember what
I remember good that. Or maybe what's the thing on electronics, UL?
Yeah, the UL stamp or something.
It's
like
I see that. It must be something.
Yeah, exactly. Or the BBB,
Better Business Bureau
label at the bottom of a website. If you're trying to win new business, you know, you want to have all the advantages possible in making a good impression, and having ISO certification might not make you stand out in the crowd in many industries, because in many industries, ISO is considered a minimum requirement,
mm-hmm.
but you do stand out if you don't have it.
Ah, that's an interesting way of looking at
it. Which isn't maybe great, because now you're having to answer questions. Why are you not certified? Because all my other suppliers are certified.
Right.
So you're going to stand out for the wrong reasons.
Or that comparison of these guys are apples and apples, but one's certified and one's not.
So then you have, as Ricky Ricardo would say, you'd have some splaining to do.
If you want to gain the contract.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, and also there's are times that some contracts you gain points based on certain certifications you may get. So having an ISO certification or multiple may be beneficial.
Yeah,
that way too.
So in many situations like government contracting, as you mentioned, there are supplier qualification requirements, sometimes point systems, sometimes mm-hmm. surveys, customer surveys. Sometimes the way you have to submit a proposal, you have to include your credentials or your qualifications as a business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, are you ISO certified? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
No, it sometimes comes down to that. So I think in many industries, for a company to really see significant growth, this is a rite of passage to that mm-hmm. significant growth. And particularly if you're going to do business with the federal government or a large, you know, manufacturing operation or a prime contractor, they're just going to expect it.
And yeah.
It's like playing with the big boys.
Yeah, you're finally graduating. You're going
exactly
to
right.
high school or college.
Yeah. So it then helps to build your reputation in the market, but you have to back it up with performance. The certificate itself doesn't do much but get you in the door.
Right.
But it does get you in the door.
Right.
Now it's time to deliver on that good quality promise we were talking about earlier.
So that continuous improvement's important from that perspective.
Yeah. And so then you put those two things together. you know, certification plus great performance. Now you're in a position to start to grow your business, not only with your current customers, get more POs, you know, more opportunities mm-hmm. or more part numbers, whatever it is. But you also have that word of mouth. You also have that opportunity to grow in an industry that starts to recognize you as a great supplier. And you're, I so, you know, if you look back and say, well, gee, when did we start this growth period? It was when we got certified. Mm-hmm. And what were the sequence of events after that? It led to our ability to grow like we have been. And many of our customers will absolutely say, we won this contract, you know, because we got the certification. Yeah. And it's thrilling to me because, gee, they're already starting to get real tangible dollars back.
Yeah, yeah.
For the investment of ISO yeah. certification.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. That makes total sense. Well, I really want to thank you for your time today, Scott. This has just been wonderful. It's great to hear your take on how ISO can benefit your bottom line.
Yeah, Xavier, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to part one of our podcast with Scott Dawson, President of Core Business Solutions. We encourage you to tune in next week for part two, where we'll dive deeper into the potential long-term cost savings associated with ISO certification. Scott will also shed light on the crucial roles played by management and engaged employees in realizing the tangible benefits of a quality management system, ultimately impacting your bottom line. In case you haven't done so already, we encourage you to subscribe to this podcast so you can stay updated on our upcoming topics. Thanks again for tuning in, and have a great day.